And that's why we're getting the
lag.
Macho Man Randy Savage is not a imp, unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. Outside interference here.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Rock Show.
How's your head feeling right about now?
The center of it's kind of numb right now. Oh, my gosh. If you're wondering what that sound was.
That's a pretty cool drum sound.
It is.
That's
the sound, ladies and gentlemen, of an empty 2-liter bottle hitting the forehead of your gracious host, Ian Ashby.
It was extremely punk rock yet diet at the same time.
Well, you know, yes, it was, because it was Cherry Coke Zero, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Zero calories, yet all the refreshing great taste.
There weren't
Cherry
any
Coke.
Big, empty 40-ounce bottles of beer to smash on your head, so
exactly.
you had to grab that.
Wow! Okay, so see, that's how we get pumped up, ladies and gentlemen, for The Rock Show. We gotta do something.
Ooh, yeah.
We gotta do something, right?
Yeah.
Welcome once again to The Rock Show, heard here on spazradio.com every Sunday night at 9 p.m. We are grateful that you have joined us tonight. Remember, you can find us at trsspaz.blogspot.com. There, of course, you can listen to old shows. And you can tell all your friends about it. You can download the show from there and go to our podcast and everything. And it's a lot of fun. And you can really connect with us that way. You can also email us at rshow1@hotmail.com. That's the letter R, the word show, the number one, at hotmail.com. And, of course, go to Facebook and the Rock Show page. And connect with us that way. There's all kinds of ways that people can connect with us, Mike.
It's true. There is a variable umbilicus out there of technology.
Exactly.
There is
exactly.
a technological umbilicus to connect you to your source of nutritional information, which is The Rock Show.
Absolutely. And you know what? You've already heard him, ladies and gentlemen. You've already loved him. You've gotten sick of him, and you've gotten past him already. But he's still here, holding on, Mr. Mike Knight Rider Beer. My wonderful co-host.
Yes. Fresh off the golf course.
Ah, yes.
Ready for rock show action. How's
rock
everybody?
Show action.
How's everybody in Spaz Radio? I'm surprised there hasn't been some kind of drop about me being gluten intolerant yet.
No, not yet. We're going to have to work on that one.
No bread for Mike. No bread for Mike.
Mike came
something
into,
like that.
Mike
no,
came
that,
into the studio tonight.
I can't even take advantage of Biscuits Pizza dropping prices now because I can't have pizza.
So is this a new thing, Mike?
Yeah, I just found out this week. So.
Oh, man. That stinks.
This is new. Yes, it used to stink a lot more. Now it stinks a little bit less.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, Mike, we're sorry that you can't have breads.
No, I can't have gluten.
Cannot have gluten, which means he cannot have biscuit. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We have plenty of biscuit for you still left. Even if Mike ate, that's right. Because you know what? To my south, all the way from Pikeville, Kentucky. Oh, that's right. The Caribbean King himself. Mr. James Biscuit McCoy. James, how you doing tonight, buddy?
James. Hey, what's up? What's up?
Hey, there he is. All right.
I'm doing pretty good.
I thought the devil had taken you away again. That's what I thought. I thought the devil had taken him away.
Yeah, how'd that visit go last week, Biscuit, with Satan incarnate coming to your house? Did that not happen? Or?
Did he come to pick up your stuff there, Biscuit?
I don't know. I vaguely remember that. Vaguely.
Biscuit just woke up all buttered.
If he did, I wouldn't be happy.
With some jam. Hey, Mike, can you do me a favor since the dog is going to scream and yell outside?
Right, should I let him out?
Yeah, well, you know what? Just let her in the studio.
Okay.
Just let her in the studio. The dog wants to be on the Rock Show apparently tonight. So, okay, Mr. Caribbean King. It's so good to have you with us tonight. And we're all here now. And before we get started with our usual hijinks, Mike, I don't know if you've seen this photo yet, but I would like to get your instant reaction to okay. this photo live on the air. You know what that is, Mike?
Ah, is that Betty White and Tony Danza? And Tony Danza's a centaur of a sort?
No.
John Ritter?
Yes. Let me explain to our listening crowd what I found this week.
That looks like something that you'd find on the side of a van at Comic-Con.
Yes. This is an illustration, ladies and gentlemen, of Betty White in a Princess Leia bikini.
She looks like she's the Rumpelman's girl.
Holding a flaming chainsaw above her head.
Yes.
While riding a half-man, half-horse John Ritter. Right. Who looks very scared, actually.
Yes.
With a volcano in the background.
That's awesome. Can I see that again?
Yes. It's the most amazing image you will ever see in your life.
I love the fact that John Ritter's got the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yes. Yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
And I love the detail of the flaming chainsaw. The chainsaw is obviously not in motion because... And Betty White has a little bit of a tummy, too.
She does. But, you know, that's how I like it. That's how I like it. I like a little bit of tummy on my woman. That's what I like.
She looks almost pregnant.
I wouldn't go that far.
It kind of does.
Is she, you know, the question it brings up, is she pregnant with half-man, half-horse John Ritter's child? And that, ladies and gentlemen, only means one thing.
What's that?
It's Sunday night.
Yes.
It's the Rock Show.
Yes.
And what does that mean, Biscuit?
It's time for the Nose Pit.
That's right. See, I scour the internet looking for not only stories, but crazy stuff to bring to you, ladies and gentlemen. Here a little thing that I like to call the Nosh Pit.
That just made my day, Enosh. Thank you.
Did that make your day?
It did.
Yes, yes. Wherever John Ritter is a half man, half horse being ridden by Betty White. Enosh will be there. Enosh will be there bringing you the Nosh Pit. Are you ready, guys, to jump into the Nosh Pit tonight?
Yes, most definitely. How about you, Biscuit?
Hey, I'm ready, but I'm not ready to see that picture of Betty White and John Ritter.
Well, I will send it to you later, Biscuit, so you can take a good look.
And you can prepare yourself. Gird your loins, as it were.
Gird them up real good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, jumping right into the Nosh Pit tonight. You know, Mike, really when it comes down to it, your government knows best.
Well, in some cases,
yes.
Maybe.
A 2007 federal energy independence law required companies that supply motor fuel in the U.S. to blend in a certain cellulose-based ingredient starting in 2011. Even though, as the Environmental Protection Agency well knows, the ingredient simply does not now yet exist.
Oh.
Yes. A New York Times reporter checked with the EPA in
you
January.
You get cracking on that.
Yes, and found that the companies will still have to pay the monetary penalties for noncompliance and almost certainly the even stiffer penalties in 2012 since the ingredient is still 2 or 3 years from development.
Oh, well, who's developing it, though? That's my question.
These
oil companies need to get their stuff together and, you know, stop taking these... corporate junkets and get down to business and make that cellulose additive.
Oh, my gosh. It defies logic, says a Petrochemicals Trade Association executive.
Well.
How do you put something in there that hasn't even been developed yet?
Well, I mean, who's developing it? Are the petrochemical companies developing it?
I don't know. It may be Biscuit.
Biscuit, are you developing a secret Biscuit-type formula?
It is cellulose.
Not cellulite, but cellulose.
I have no clue. I don't invent anything.
Oh, really?
I just invented homemade pizza.
All right.
Wait, hold on. You invent homemade pizza? Then why are you paying for it at all?
Hey, that's the thing. I don't have to pay for it. I can get it for free.
He just says, Alakazam Biscuit.
He puts his name in it. His name is in his magic spell. Alakazam Biscuit. And it happens.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
I love
how it
this
goes.
Show. I love this show.
It goes, hey, right. Hey y'all, pizza. And then the pizza just sort of shows up.
It just shows up. It's like
James' girlfriends. He just kind of goes, Alakazam, relationship, poof, Biscuit.
And then he goes, Alakazam, not relationship, boom.
Biscuit.
And then he changes it like 5 times in a night.
He's got a Biscuit as part of that.
Hey, Biscuit, are you currently in a relationship?
I have no clue. It's a yes and no.
Oh, good. Oh. That's a good, honest answer, my friend.
I like that. Okay.
We like that.
All right. Mike, how about some things people believe?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Here
yes,
we go.
Give me some of those.
You want that? Okay.
Yeah, bring it.
Now, Mike, she is not the typical gullible victim. You see, Miss Pretty, yes, and I'm gonna murder this name, Mahalanobis.
Biscuit.
Pretty Manalapopoulos.
Alakazam.
Is a college-educated mother of two who ran a franchise restaurant in Avalon Park, Florida, near Orlando. But when her health... her brother's marriage, and her business experienced problems, she bought a $20 psychic reading from Mrs. Starr, also known as Peaches Stevens.
Peaches.
As Peaches Stevens.
Wow, as though Mrs. Starr was not ridiculous sounding enough.
The Orlando Sentinel reported in January that over the next 7 months, Mahalanobis, lost about $135,000 in cash, jewelry, and gift cards to Mrs. Starr. Astonishingly, neither Mahalanobis' health nor her restaurant business noticeably improved. Among the remedies that Mahalanobis accepted were buying 7 tabernacles, $19,000 each, to vanquish her family's negativity, and putting $100 bills and a piece of paper with her relatives' names written on it under her mattress, along with a grapefruit, which, as everyone knows, attracts and then isolates the evil.
The grapefruit.
Yes, the grapefruit.
I love the fact that, first of all, she pays for absolutely nothing and buys these tabernacles, whatever the heck they are.
What's I thought like a tabernacle was like a building.
It's like it's some kind of spiritual hoax.
Exactly.
And then on top of it, Mrs. Starr says... grapefruit.
$100 bills and pieces of paper.
She kind of went cheap and she didn't get the biscuit, which would have been like the $50,000 item.
Exactly.
Miss Starr says you need to put all your negative energy in this biscuit. Alakazam biscuit.
Wow.
And poof, it's gone.
And then all of a sudden...
Just like a relationship.
All of a sudden a pizza just shows right up.
Hey, I'm just that good. I can't help it.
The pizza of positivity shall replace the biscuit of negativity.
Yes. In sickness and in health, guys, but not in triviality or tackiness.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and see, all U.S. states have forms of no-fault divorce, as Mike and I know, but not England, which requires that couples prove adultery or abandonment or unreasonable behavior, which leads to sometimes epic weirdness.
Epic weirdness.
Yes. According to an April New York Times dispatch from London, for instance, one woman's petition blamed her husband's insistence that she speak and dress only in Klingon. Other examples of other examples of unreasonable behavior gathered by the Times of London, a husband objecting to the malicious preparation of his most hated dish, tuna casserole.
How dare you? How dare you make this tuna casserole and not deliver it in Klingon garb?
A spouse's non-communication for the last 15 years, except by leaving post-it notes.
Well, that sounds like a lot of relationships, actually.
A spouse's too rapid TV channel changing.
Wow. Yeah, that's enough to cause a divorce.
I love turning the channels fast, man.
Yeah.
That's one thing I miss about having regular cable, is you could actually do that, you know. Since
now you have to wait for everything to load up.
Exactly. And a husband's distorting the fit of his wife's best outfits by frequently wearing them.
Yes, yes.
That's what I like to do to my ex-wife.
Yes, like I'm sure you love...
Well, except for when she got bigger than me, then it didn't matter anymore.
That's pretty amazing.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, the one's insistence that a pet tarantula reside in a glass case beside the marital bed.
Yeah, what's wrong? What's wrong with having Mr. Harry sitting next to us?
Well, Mr. Harry's fine, but the tarantula's got to go.
Ooh. Ooh, that's some good tarantula.
All right, how about some milestones in government regulation, Biscuit?
All right, well, let's go for that for 500.
All right. According to recent consumer protection rulings by the European Food Safety Authority, sellers of prunes are prohibited from marketing them as laxatives.
Oh.
And sellers of bottled water are forbidden to offer it as preventing dehydration.
Really?
Yes. In both cases, the commissioners referred to the underlying science of the body to defend their decisions. But the rulings were still widely derided as anti-common sense. Members of the European Parliament complained, especially given the current precarious state of the European Union itself, Mike.
Right.
One parliamentarian.
Okay.
Challenged an EFSA policymaker to a prune-eating contest. He said, if it's not a laxative, let's see how many you can eat and not have your bowel function assisted.
Wow. Sounds like they're working on some really important things there in Europe, Inash.
It sounds like it. Yes. We should be just like them.
We wonder why
anytime
there's always...
bowel function comes up, you know, in
point
debate.
Of order, sir. I challenge you to a prune-eating contest, sir.
Yes.
No. See which one stains their trousers first.
And this one just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, like we always say, where else but the Rock Show can you get insightful, sometimes riveting discussion about important topics and theological, religious things and boobies. Yes. You see, Maureen Raymond, age 49, said her roadside DUI test administered in January was unfair, Mike.
Mm.
According to records cited by Scripps Media, she told a deputy in Port St. Lucie, Florida, that she couldn't walk a straight line with her big boobies.
Wow.
She said that it makes balancing difficult. The deputy reported that Raymond helpfully offered to show him the evidence, but that he stopped her.
Especially because she was fat.
Well.
It wasn't that she was hot with big boobies.
Well,
she was just like a big, gross, fat lady.
Well, you know, it was probably just a little bit of tummy Betty White.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
No, no. It's that whole thing. I mean, I know. Ever notice that, Enosh, where like, it's always like... the really gross chicks.
Who wants to show you their boobs?
They're like, hey, I got these big boobs, blah, blah, blah. And they're usually the grossest of them all.
Now, what you have there are two sacks of oatmeal, lady.
Good Lord.
Wow. Good Lord. Put those away.
Good Lord. You and your bologna.
Put the dough for Biscuit's pizzas away.
Exactly. Well, because I am Biscuit.
Boobs. All right. Here's some compelling explanations, guys.
Yes.
Lame number one. Lame explanations, number one. Madison County, Indiana. Council member David McCartney, admitted to the Herald Bulletin newspaper in March that he had exchanged sexually explicit emails with a female officer in another county, but would not resign. In fact, he said he had engaged in the exchanges not for hanky-panky, of course, but in order to expose corruption.
Oh, yes.
Of course, he has not elaborated what corruption he was trying to expose. Wait, hold on. Hold on. What is this? Wait, hold on. I'm getting something.
The fax machine is spitting a news story at Enosh.
This just in. Oh, well, this makes perfect sense. David McCartney's penis had been named corruption. There you go. Here's another lame explanation.
At least that's some interdepartmental cooperation there, Enosh.
Yes. Chris Windham, age 27, was charged with improperly photographing a 57-year-old man in a men's room in Trinity, Texas. In March, after Windham, using a stall, allegedly snapped a cell phone photo of the man standing at the adjacent urinal. Windham explained that typically he braces himself with one hand on the floor while he wipes himself. And this time, the hand on the floor was holding his cell phone. Whoops! Sorry I photographed your junk! What can I say?
Trying to expose corruption.
Wait, corruption was right there in the stall next to me. What can you do? All right. And
was it Larry Craig that happened to be next to him? Or what was the name of that senator from Wyoming?
Idaho.
It was the guy from Idaho. Wasn't it?
It was Minnesota. The guy in the airport?
I thought he was in Minnesota, but he was the senator.
Oh, I don't know.
Senator from Idaho.
All I remember was Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota, the land of...
Gosh, I mean, that's a tough situation, though. We all are so attached to technology now, Enosh.
Oh, well, exactly.
I found myself now.
Okay.
Have you ever found yourself sitting on the John looking at your phone?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
It's become so commonplace with me now that it's like...
Actually, this morning.
I have a hard time going in to use the bathroom...
Without looking
at my phone.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that bizarre?
A great time to Facebook.
Isn't that like horrible to think that every time someone puts a Facebook post up, they're pooping?
Could be. Yes. Yes. And sometimes it inspires me. Sometimes it inspires me to write something. Yes.
I mean,
hey, look, it could be worse, though. You can have a laptop with you in the bathroom.
That's true.
I actually want to start a website now because one of the things that I always find also is like,
don't give it away on the air.
I know. Well, you go to the restroom and you read the graffiti that's on the bathroom stalls.
Sure.
Nowadays with cell phones, wouldn't it be great to have a website where people take pictures of the graffiti and then put it up on a website?
Hey, that's a wonderful thing for humanity, Enosh.
Patent pending.
To pass on the graffiti.
I mean, right now, all I do is take pictures of gratuitous stuff on bathroom walls and I send it to my friend Aaron, our friend Aaron. Exactly.
Look at I have.
Exactly. Oh boy. All right. Biscuit?
No, it seems like every time you go into a bathroom and see some writing, it's for a good time, call this and that.
I just love it when you see somebody write something and then you see somebody correct that person.
Yeah.
You ever see that? Like that person,
Yeah, I used to see that a lot when, I used to go to a church that was based out of Michigan State University. And when I would go out there, you would see a lot of debates, like college debates taking place on the bathroom walls. Particularly political debates. And
really?
So that was very interesting. You'd see things crossed out, then put back in, then cross out again, then put back in.
That's awesome.
You could tell that person had a class there once a week, and they were having a debate vis-a-vis the bathroom wall.
Nice. And ladies and gentlemen, finally in the Nosh Pit tonight, in Bennington, Vermont, in December, Adam Hall, 34, was accused of vandalizing his ex-girlfriend's car, including scratching the word slut into the hood.
Well.
Except that the word was spelled S-U-L-T.
Salt.
Salt.
Tim Salt, the great guitarist from the band Clutch. He must have been a big fan.
Hall initially denied any involvement until an officer handed him a sheet of paper and asked him to write the sentence, "You are a slut." Sure enough.
He spelled it S-U-L-T.
Hall spelled slut, S-U-L-T, and was promptly charged with malicious mischief.
Yes.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Nosh Pit for this week.
It proves that it does not pay to be dyslexic and a graffito at the same time. It's funny. The cops are like, this is the one guy I know in town that doesn't know how to spell slut. I know it's him. Bring him in.
I know. It's just so funny. You know, I don't know. Well, hey, guys.
But I do admire the way policemen think, though. I mean, yes. Because, like, you know they know how to, like, suss these things out.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, today I did something that I had to be very secure in my manhood to do. And I was really surprised because a lot of guys that I know were telling me, like, oh, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. I went today with my wife-to-be. I'm getting married this coming Saturday.
Okay.
And I went with my wife-to-be, the lovely Tiff-tastic, who's on the show all the time, and I got a mani-pedi.
Hey.
And
I've done it
great.
Before.
I feel great.
Yeah, your toes are looking good.
They are, man. They're looking good. My feet are soft and supple. Yeah. My fingers, look at the shine on those nails.
It's blinding me. I got to put my sunglasses on.
I'm telling you, I feel great. And you know what? I felt bad for the
girl.
Did you
take Ripley?
Did
you take Ripley too?
Nails.
Did you take Ripley too?
No,
because
I did
the dog really needs its nails clipped.
I know, she does.
No, it's like Wolverine, your dog. I swear.
I keep hoping she turns into a superhero.
Poor thing. Look at her. Look at Ripley. Does that look like a superhero?
I wish you could see my dog. Right
like
now.
She's literally prostrate on all four legs, just like looking miserable right now. The poor thing.
Oh, whatever. Aww. Oh, anyways,
she's old. She's getting old.
I know, but no, I was thinking. I actually felt sorry for the girl who was working on my toes because I got a couple gnarly nails.
And, oh, they've seen some bad stuff.
I know.
They've seen like people with hammer toes and like you know.
Yeah. So it wasn't that bad, and I feel great, and I'm all ready for.
Did they use like minty scrub on your feet?
They used like an orange creamsicle scrub.
Ooh,
orange creamsicle. Now, Biscuit, have you ever had a mani-pedi?
No, I have not.
Now, would you go for a manicure?
What about a Madonna? Have you had a Madonna?
Have you had a Madonna?
No.
Well, everybody's had a Madonna.
Yeah.
Everybody's had Madonna, right?
Well, yeah.
But well, hold on. Wait a second. Where is it?
Hey, Biscuit, everybody's had a Madonna.
Wait, hold on.
I'm waiting for Enos to cue up the joke. Hey, Biscuit, everybody's had a Madonna. Where is it? Where's the sound drop?
No, that's not it.
You suck.
Nope.
You're really bad at this. Moving right along. Well, I actually, it's funny because my lovely ex-wife, and I mean that with no sarcasm, she was a lovely lady.
Everybody's had a Madonna. Manathan!
I was going to say, that's Manathan. That's not Madonna.
Manathan, the mighty, mighty cow from Switzerland.
Just like Madonna. There it is.
There you go. I've come up with this whole story about Manathan.
Have you?
Yeah, Manathan. I'm going to start like a comic about him or something like that,
nice.
Or a web show.
Another whole web show.
Because he's the fighting cow from Switzerland.
Look for that on The Rock Show, or excuse me, on Spaz Radio Network.
That's right.
The Manathan Hour.
So it's going to be running into another cow.
You hear that, Shannon? Shannon, nothing but the Manathan Hour.
Manathan, the fighting cow from Switzerland.
What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all?
With Biscuit,
hey,
Virtual
it's
Biscuit.
The Virtual Biscuit. What's up, Virtual Biscuit? Oh, my God.
All right.
I've been talking down prices from a pizza, guys, again. I've been talking down the price of a pizza from pizza places. Whether it's Papa John's, Pizza Hut, or Domino's, I know how to talk down the prices.
Alakazam Biscuit. Anyways, as I was saying, my lovely ex-wife got for me as a, I think it was a Father's Day present or something, or a birthday present or something like. She and her friend Leslie got me and my buddy Phil, Leslie's husband, side-by-side mani-pedis.
See, I don't know that's so manly.
Well, but it was all right because we were, you know, just kind of chilling out.
It's all right because our pants were half on.
Yeah, it's all right because our clothes were fully on, actually, but you know, except for we rolled up the pant legs.
Except for the part that covered my naughty bits.
Well, our naughty bits were not in question whatsoever. But no, it was fun, dude. We felt like mobsters, you know, getting our...
Mike, was this music playing while you were getting it?
Yes. That music was playing. Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic was playing.
That's what I thought.
Yep. No, but it was only because it was, it's a Puerto Rican nail salon. They really like Technotronic. It's funny how you pick that out right away.
Yes.
But no, the ladies that did it were very lovely, and it was a wonderful experience, but it felt extremely gay.
Well, yeah. It kind of happens that
you can use that as a sound drop whenever you want.
It felt extremely gay.
No, it was a wonderful experience, but it felt extremely gay. Oh. You could use that whenever you want.
Whenever I want?
Whenever you want. Your dog looks miserable, dude.
No, she's fine, dude. She's just tired.
She is. She looks tired.
She's
like
tired.
She's only got a couple days left.
Oh,
the Rock Show phone. Gosh, who could this be? Hold on. Yeah, hello.
Oh, my goodness! I can't believe it! I'm actually on the air with you guys!
Who's this?
Who's this?
Who are you?
My name is Peaches. Peaches Stevens.
Oh, it's Peaches.
I've been a long-time listener of the show.
Yes.
And I can't believe that you guys read a story about me tonight in the Nosh Pit. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. But see, the thing is Enosh, I think you're great and all.
Well, thank you.
But really, my heart belongs to Mike.
Well, you know.
Yeah, Mike, I love you, and I love all your nicknames, Mike.
Oh,
when you were Mike Rock Lobster Beer, I would dress up every Sunday night in a red lobster costume
sit
by my computer listening, just waiting for him to Enosh to introduce you as Mike Rock Lobster Beer.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little
it's okay.
Nervous.
Calm down, Peaches,
calm down.
Okay.
And Mike, when you were the depressed weather guy, I know that you really like the old cartoon G.I. Joe. So, do you remember when they made a weather dominator?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I don't remember that.
I went back and watched that, and I found all the key components, and I made a weather dominator.
Whoa.
Because I figured that
Wait,
if
Peaches,
I made the weather, I could be close to you. It would draw us closer together and maybe make you happy.
Okay.
And then, now that you're Mike Knight Rider Beer, I go out and I sit in my Trans Am.
I bought
a Trans Am, a 1984 Trans Am, just for you, Mike.
And where's the weather dominator?
You can have it if you want.
Okay.
I would be happy to give it to you.
It's Mike.
You just have to come and see me sometime.
Well, you're down in Florida. I don't know if I can get down there. I mean, it's kind of a...
I really love you a lot, Mike.
Thank you, Peaches.
That we could have something special if you just gave me a chance, Mike.
Well,
okay?
Keep getting those grapefruits.
You put a grapefruit under your bag, it gets rid of your spirits, the bad ones anyways.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to hang up now, but I love you, Mike. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Peaches. Yes.
Wow, Mike.
Wow, it's...
Admirer there.
She's
going 90 miles an hour, man.
Well, she definitely sounds like she's in Florida. I mean, doing the nose candy down there or something
that. No let up at all. Wow, just bang, bang, bang.
Bang, like she was edited together or something.
I know,
like
geez.
That. Well, you know, Peaches, if you call back, you know, just keep this in mind. You know, the weather is nothing to play with. Don't take the weather into your own hands.
Cobra Commander.
Because
you cannot play with the weather.
What is a weather dominator?
The weather
I've heard of a leather dominator.
What?
But a weather dominator?
The weather dominator was an episode of G.I. Joe where they made this thing that controlled the weather, and it was called the weather dominator.
The weather dominator.
The weather dominator.
I think that should be your wrestling nickname, Enosh.
Cobra Commander.
That should be your wrestling character.
The weather dominator?
It's coming with a big lightning bolt and a cloud around you.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, look at your costume looks like the symbol for thunderstorm. You're like, I am the weather dominator.
Do I make that noise, too?
El Kazayan Biscuit. Or something like that. I think you should make that sound.
I should just go...
That's your... No. That's
I am the weather dominator.
No, that's like the pyro that would be going on around you that looked like lightning that would scare everybody in the arena.
Oh, so I'm actually walking around going, I am the weather dominator.
Well, if you were a total spaz, yeah, you could do that if you wanted to, since we are in spaz radio.
Pull out guns.
No.
I am the weather dominator.
No, guns aren't necessary. This has nothing to do with weather. That kind of sounds like thunder, though. I mean,
I am the weather dominator. Manathon.
In tonight's matchup for the
intercontinental
title, Manathon, the fighting cow from Switzerland, against the weather dominator. And obviously, we're holding it in front of a polite crowd in Sweden.
They're going crazy, Mike.
They're gonna have to hold them. They're gonna have to. Or they're gonna. Thank you, Peaches. They're gonna have to hold this. Hold this match in the hills of the Alps in Switzerland.
And here to sing the national anthem of Switzerland.
Yes,
John Rock.
The English translation of the Swiss national anthem.
Song abounds.
It still just gives me chills listening to that.
Okay.
It solely sounds like Buffalo Bill from...
So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we actually do have a topic.
Yes.
Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about evil.
Mm. Evil?
Yes!
Weather Dominator!
Weather Dominator! No, I want to talk a little bit about evil. Yeah. I was at church today, and our pastor was talking about, we've been doing this series about Revelation all throughout the summer. And he was talking about how, you know, we got to the main, you know, the meat of the stuff that everybody, you know, was waiting for. You know, 666, the mark of the beast.
The number of the beast!
Exactly. The Antichrist and stuff. And he made a really good point. He's like, you know, the Antichrist is not necessarily this figure. You know, I mean, I know you hear about it a lot in church circles. But, you know, it's really a spirit of Antichrist that's kind of existed all throughout, you know, history. And we see it rear its ugly head over and over again, you know, and there's been many people who said, oh, this person, this world leader who's evil is going to be the Antichrist, or that one, or this one, or political figures, or whatever. but, you know, he showed a picture of the Battle of Normandy.
Right.
You know, when they stormed the beach, and D-Day. I was thinking about that, because looking at the picture there and just thinking about all the men who died to just get this little sliver of beach.
Right.
You know what I mean? That just slowly over time grew and grew and grew and helped win that war. But I was thinking about how in the past it seems like there's been really clear definitions of good and evil. You know, like when Hitler was in power, it was obvious that he was evil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It became extremely apparent that he was up to no good.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, too, in World War II, there was a lot of people that did not want to go to war with Germany. We had the majority of the country thought it was none of our business. We didn't want to get dragged into another war like World War I.
Mm-hmm.
We had this, and you could see the common sense in both sides of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because politically and in terms of our prosperity in this country, it was a very unpopular thing to go to war with Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like we were like, yeah, we're going to go kick those Nazis' butts. You know, It wasn't like that at all. We really, what it came down to was, you know, we cast our lot in with the British. And then eventually it became obvious that this guy was just up to no good.
Yeah.
People had heard about concentration camps and they'd heard about the horrible things that were happening over there in the U.S., at least amongst, like, you know, like the East Coast and the parts of the country that were more. Because you got to remember, too, that the news back then was not nearly as prevalent as now. It's not like you could just fire up your computer.
Well, yeah, you weren't getting, like, you know, up-to-the-minute updates.
Yeah, you couldn't get
stuff.
Tweets from Edward, you know, Edward R. Murrow from London. He wasn't tweeting. I mean, you'd be lucky if you heard something on the radio or you saw something in a newsreel at the local cinema, if you went to the cinema, or you read something in the newspaper, if you were able to read, you know. And it was a different time, even though it was only 70-something years ago, almost 80 years ago.
I know, and that's the thing, is it wasn't really that long ago.
No, but it was a very different time, and our civilization, our culture has changed so much in the last 80 years that it's pretty remarkable that, you know, we are so much more in tune with what we think is wrong or what we think is right, and we have a much more personalized, I think, viewpoint of it. And I think that's part of your point that we're going to get to, is that, you know, the definition of a clear evil in retrospect, in the historical long view, is a lot. It's like, oh, yeah, Hitler was evil.
Yeah.
We can say that now. It's really easy to see that. But think about being back then, you know.
Yeah.
And how would your feelings be about that? You know,
You know, I mean, and
it's based on what you know.
Well, and the thing, like you said, like eventually it became a thing of, well, yeah, you know, people in the country, they got behind it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they were like, you know, yeah, this guy's got to be taken out. You know what I mean? And everything from, you know, I mean, basically the war effort was the big thing, you know? And I mean, you know, even Superman was over fighting, you know, Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff in the comics and everything. You know what I mean? And it was
completely consumed everyday life.
You know, but you look nowadays, okay?
Right.
And war is still an unpopular thing. You know what I mean? But like now, I mean, like say with, you know, 9/11 happening, okay?
Right.
And everything that happened with that, and, you know, and there was this very. And the country is still very split because now people want to be so. There's people who want to be politically correct, and there's people who look at it. There's some people who are bigoted and just look at, you know, well, that's an entire race of people. You know what I mean? Instead of looking at the evil, you know, the ones that are doing the stuff, you know, doing the evil. And so there's like all this conflict, you know, and it's all convoluted where it's like, and I've heard people talk about how like the war on terror or whatever, you know, as we know it today is not the same as what it was back then, where you're fighting an army or you're fighting a country or something like that. It's not the same because you're fighting an idea.
Right.
Really. You're fighting something that's not relegated to one place. And I think that also has added to like our just kind of disillusionment with everything. Cause we don't know, the evil has been kind of diluted because we don't really, you can't center on it. You can't focus on it and say, well, this is evil. And it, I think it maybe has trickled down into society as well, where we don't look at things as evil or good a lot anymore. We look at all these shades of gray, and it's like, well, these things are bad, but they're not so bad. You know what I mean? We don't really get behind an idea of this is evil. This has got to be stopped.
Yeah, there's a couple things about that that I just want to comment on. For one, I mean, we were drawn into war with Germany because Japan invaded us. Mm-hmm. And Japan was part of the Axis with Germany and Italy.
Yeah.
And so by the nature of Japan invading us at Pearl Harbor and starting war with us, even though war clouds were in the distance, the fact that they bombed Pearl Harbor and took out our Pacific Naval Fleet put us in war, at war with Germany. When we declared war on Japan, we declared war on Germany, we declared war on Italy.
Yeah.
Because they were together.
And Italy was like, oh, why you want to go and bomb us? What do we do? We just to make a pizza. We'll make a free one for the biscuit guy over there. Come on. Come on. Why you got to bomb us? Come on.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. And
that was a clip. That was not even me.
We got that from the History Channel archives there.
History Channel's like, hey, why does this guy's pizza look like ours? Nice callback from us.
Yeah, right, exactly. Quote from Dante Spumoni.
The real reason World War II started, right? Italy got involved. Hey, that American pizza looks a lot like our pizza. We got to go over there.
That's like a this is almost like a VeggieTales type simplification of World War II. I like it.
You like that? We got to go over there and tell those Americans that they can't be making pizza that looks like ours.
That's
what going to work.
That's what I love about VeggieTales. It's like everything's about vegetables. It's like they solve like some of the world's most horrible problems using armless vegetables.
Well, you know.
But regardless,
yes,
we were invaded by Japan, and yes, we were attacked by forces trained by Osama bin Laden at 9/11 and by Al Qaeda. That was clear.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Al Qaeda is not a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Germany was a nation. Mm-hmm. Japan was a nation. Or they are nations.
Yeah, with borders.
With borders.
They were. Well, we just took them out.
Well, Germany changed a lot.
Yes. And,
I mean, the Japanese Empire is different now. But the fact of the matter is that these were countries that were coming to get us. And, the reason why World War II was actually remarkably short, considering everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that Hitler expanded took over all of Europe. Invaded Paris, was bombing the living heck out of England.
Yeah.
Or took over, from the southern French borders all the way to deep into Russia. It was German.
Mm-hmm.
It was Axis controlled. Like the entire continental Europe was controlled by Germany, and they were bombing the living daylights out of England. And this we finished the war from 1941 to 1945. It was 4 years. It may seem like a long time, but compared to our war on terror nowadays,
mm-hmm.
This is taking forever.
Yeah, well, because it's not centralized. You know what I mean?
You don't have the same kind of World War type commitment.
Exactly.
It's like there's not a nation that we say, okay, if we do this, this will end.
Yeah.
If we eliminate this, this will stop. And so I think to a certain extent, that kind of fear and terror is even worse to us as a country because we have this sort of nebulous kind of shadowy sort of evil that we're trying to combat, and it's not clear. It hasn't been drawn into focus as a nation. It hasn't been drawn into focus as this is, Bin Laden's dead now. Do you know who the head of Al Qaeda is now?
No,
I don't.
I don't know.
It's like, and I'm sure people that are in the CIA do. But this is the thing: what are we fighting? What are we fighting right now? What are we doing in Afghanistan? What's going on? A lot of it is that. Yeah, it's kind of bad over there. We're trying to drive out Al Qaeda. And we keep sending guys that are getting their arms and legs blown up over there and come back looking like robots. And But what are we doing?
Exactly. But
that's part of the frustration of the whole thing.
Well, yeah. And so this has become the History Channel.
Right.
I'm glad we brought all this up because I think also this kind of conflict and this kind of confusion happens in our lives.
Sure.
With evil and things that are perceived evil. You look at things that nowadays fly by no problem, where just a few short years ago, things that are just commonplace in society or are just taken for granted now were before considered taboo. things that, you know, were bad or not good for you, you know, or whatever. And now there's a lot of stuff that's just widely accepted. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you look at television and movies and how they keep pushing the envelope and, you know what I mean? And everything keeps getting just a little bit more racy, you know, and stuff. And you go, you know, like
or
I went to go
just
see.
Just dark in general.
Well, exactly. I mean, like I went to go see Batman. You know, The Dark Knight Rises last week, and I was sitting next to this 5-year-old, right? And I'm like, and like next to him is his brother who had to be like 7 or 8,
right?
And then their dad, you know. And it's like, I get it; it's Batman. You'd like to be able to take your kid to go see Batman,
right?
But you know, those movies are a lot different than Adam West. They're a lot different than, you know...
Hand me the shark repellent.
Exactly. They're a lot different than even, you know, Tim Burton's Batman from 1989, you know what I mean? Which is more comic booky and stuff like that. And I get it. And you know what? I love it. I like those movies.
Yeah.
But...
They're very post-9/11.
Exactly.
You know?
But the thing is, should a 5-year-old be ingesting that kind of... Because they can't process it.
Well, they can't process it in a grown-up kind of way.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure the 5-year-old sitting there, like, every time Batman's on the screen, he's like, yay, Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, he's not understanding the political ideas behind, you know, the stuff that's going on.
The subtext.
Exactly. You know? And so I think it's hard sometimes.
Or even the context.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. So I think it's hard sometimes for us to process what is good, what is bad, things that are harmful for us, you know, just in our everyday lives. And then even us as parents, sometimes we got to be really careful when we're allowing our kids to be exposed to things.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because it's you know, I shudder sometimes when, like, I'm watching TV with Landon or something, and something comes on that's a little too racy or something like that, you know? And I'm kind of, like, watching him to see what his reaction is, you know? I don't know if I brought this up on air, but, like, a couple weeks ago we were watching something and somebody on television said something about sex, and my son looks at me, 7 years old, and he goes, "Dad, what's sex?"
And then it turned into an after school special. Din-din-din-din-din. What does Enosh do when his son asks him about sex?
Exactly, and you know what I mean. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's interesting nowadays. Just the gray areas that we seem to have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of gray area. But the thing is that.
Biscuit, do you have any gray area in your life there when it comes to good and evil?
Honestly, I mean, I don't. I mean, I know the difference between good and evil. I know the difference between good and bad. I know the difference between what's real and make-believe. And kind of like going back to the movie about Batman, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can actually tell some of that stuff about how it is, like, post-9/11. I'm not trying to take your words, but, you know, like, you got to be able to realize what's real and make-believe from that movie. Not everything in that movie is real.
Sure, sure, yeah, and I think that...
Like when Batman came out in that clown suit, spoiler alert, and like, he started, like, shooting everybody with confetti, that was totally just not real at all.
I haven't seen the movie, I wouldn't know, but I mean, you say you know the difference between right and wrong, Biscuit, and you know what, and you know the difference between what's real and what's not real, so if you go and shoot up a 7-Eleven, we have this on tape. I'm just warning you right now.
But see, you know what? I think...
You have plausible deniability, my friend.
I get where Biscuit's coming from, but you know what? To be honest with you, even myself, I think even for myself, sometimes the line is blurred.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't always know necessarily what the right thing to do is.
Oh, yeah, and we make mistakes every single day. If we didn't, we wouldn't have anything to learn.
You know, but I do think, and I know that this is not going to happen, but, and I know it's criticized a lot, but I mean... We live in a world that's very cynical now.
Yeah.
We live in a world where...
Very hard-hearted.
Yes, where kids are exposed to a lot of things at a very young age that make them more have to grow up a little quicker in the world, I mean, you know, that we live in. And, you know, I think it's a shame sometimes because I think sometimes, you know, even though there's a lot to be said for our advancements in technology and society and everything, that, you know, sometimes a simpler life,
yeah.
You know, more imagination and more innocence. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to a lot.
Well, I mean, and the Bible says, "Think on these things." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think on what is right. Think on what is just.
Innocent, pure,
innocent,
yeah.
pure of heart. You know. And what is that? Philippians, I think. Philippians 4, I think it is. I'm not sure, but anyways, that's I don't mean. I'm paraphrasing, regardless. But. I think this world and this life has been brutal for time immemorial. I think it's always been that way. But right now, it becomes more evident, and it's put in our face a lot more.
We don't live on a farm where we're isolated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We live in a, you know, virtual city where we're connected with everybody else in the world through the internet. And so, regardless, these are our neighbors.
Yeah.
The people who we read the stories about become our neighbors. They become the thing that happened down the street, even though it may be happening thousands of miles away, and at least in our consciousness.
Sure,
and so when we take a step towards looking to the light and looking towards the good in life and the purity and the happiness in life, we can't help but radiate it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have our dark times. And in this society, it's really easy, even though I don't think there's any more darkness nowadays. I think it's just more evident nowadays.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it's just put in our face a lot more. You know, this is a time where we can really show the power of love and the power of Christ through our actions and how we look at the world and being more childlike. Not childish, being more childlike. And
exactly.
Because I think of all those people that were in these diverse communities from all over the United States that just like went right down to the recruiting station to sign up the next day after Pearl Harbor. They just knew, they were like, we got attacked. You know, no one's going to do this to our country. You know, Italians from Connecticut, you know, Swedes from Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of African Americans from all over the country, you know, Native Americans, even Japanese Americans wanted to fight, but they got put up in Japanese American internment camps.
You know what that day sounded like, Mike?
What did it sound like?
It sounded like this.
America. That's right.
That's right.
America. Yes. America.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
What you gonna do when we come for you? I love the beats. It's the dream that we all share. It's the hope of tomorrow. Hitler's going down. Yeah. We have a little bit of time. We'll let it play.
Oh yeah. No, but you know, I have a recording of the 40s version of this.
The 40s version?
Yeah, there's the 40s version of this. Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah, hold on a second. Wait, hold on. Slavery? What? Oh, it must be done. Must be done. They ran out of gas. Big ending, right?
Well, no, let me do the 40s version of the Enosh.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on a second. Oh, wait a second. They're not done.
Reebok. Taco Bell. Bed Bath and Beyond.
Bed Bath and Beyond in the 40s.
Okay, Enosh.
I didn't write the song.
Well, you control the song, so you can cut it. The beeps are literally are hurting my ears.
No, the production call.
I've got the. Including Biscuit calling in. But the 40s version of it goes like this. Hey, golly, oh, America, heck yeah.
But hey. Could they even say heck?
Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks, yeah.
Me and my cow are going to get in our coop and go and kick Hitler's backside.
I think they still said Hitler could. I think they still said Hitler could perform certain acts. All right. Well, you know, it's been a wonderful conversation.
That Hitler can just go all the way to the bee's knees.
And we didn't hear from the devil this week.
No, thank goodness.
I think he's putting his campaign together.
I think it's because we prayed before the show.
We prayed before the show this week, and the devil didn't show up. You know, ironically, on the week we talk about evil.
Yes.
No devil on the week we talk about evil.
Well, maybe he's too busy right now.
Okay.
He's hanging out with Mitt Romney in Israel.
I heard he's going by to see Obama on the way home.
He might be.
All right.
And then he's going to go see Rush Limbaugh after that.
Something like that. All right, Mike, are you ready for verses?
I am ready.
All right, I'm ready as well. And in all... Biscuit.
Get your stuff sorted, Biscuit.
All right, I'm having...
I'm right here.
You know, I think it's just Skype. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I will say we did find out what has been the cause of all of our... technical issues. Apparently, AT&T doesn't know what they're doing when you tell them, hey, I do an online radio show, and I need to be able to have the fastest internet that you have.
Yeah.
No, they go ahead and sign you up for the slowest upload and download speeds.
Oh, yeah, and their customer service.
Thank you, AT&T.
Their customer service is wonderful, isn't it?
All right, yes. Oh, it's been perfect. Trust me. I could do a whole show on that. All right, Mike.
Yes, let's do this.
Actually, I'm going to go to Biscuit first. Biscuit, Darth Vader versus Lord Voldemort.
Ooh.
Look, I don't know who Lord Voldemort.
Did you see Harry Potter?
Or is, so I'm going to have to say Darth Vader.
I mean, not that I disagree with your assumption there, but you do know what Harry Potter is, right?
Oh. No.
Oh my goodness.
Biscuit has been living in a cave.
I tell you, man. I tell you.
I know what Harry Potter is, but never seen it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Mike, the devil versus Hitler.
Well, the devil wins always.
I was hoping for Hitler on that one.
Nah, I can't give it to Hitler.
All right. Biscuit.
He was a pawn of the devil.
Dark-sided lady versus Justin Bieber.
Dark-sided.
Oh, God. Dark-sided lady.
Dark-sided lady wins.
Dark-sided lady wins over Justin Bieber. Okay.
Bieber's hair is dark-sided.
All right.
Yes.
Mike.
I'm ready.
Charles Manson.
Okay.
Versus Stewie Griffin.
Stewie would take Charles Manson out easily.
Go back in time, do it. All right.
Yes.
Now, see, I had a story that I was going to play tonight, and we didn't get around to it.
Okay.
So this is not going to make any sense.
Well, let's do it anyways.
Green-handed alien mommy.
Okay.
Versus Dr. Evil.
Biscuit, what do you say? Biscuit.
I
hear
no
him breathing.
What was it again?
Green-handed alien mommy versus Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil.
Okay, all will be revealed next week when I play the green-handed alien mummy thing. Okay. Mike?
Yes.
I'm not letting you off easy on this one.
Okay.
Rapists.
Rapists.
Or rapist clowns.
Ooh.
The problem with rapist clowns is they make you laugh.
That's horrible, Enosh. We're gonna go with
for the breakdown.
We're gonna go with the rapist clowns because they have the clown factor.
Oh, gosh, so bad. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, rapist clowns.
Not funny.
Did you say clowns?
I said rapist clowns. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Mike, this one goes back to you as well.
Okay.
General Zod.
Yeah. Oh.
Or bearded Spock.
Ooh, Zod.
Zod.
Zod. Yeah.
Okay. And Biscuit, Ozzy Osbourne. You do know who he is, correct?
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne versus Dracula.
Biscuit.
Today, Biscuit.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to have to say Dracula.
I'm sorry. I'm getting cuts here.
Ozzy Osbourne versus Dracula.
We're gonna go
Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, there you go. Finally.
Jeez.
I think there's a lag. I think
maybe.
Biscuit's
okay.
Information late.
All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Vader versus the devil.
Devil.
Okay. Dark-sided lady versus Stewie from Family Guy there, James. Mike, you want to take that one?
Yeah, we're going
to.
Oh, okay. Mike!
Yes.
Dr. Evil or clown rapist?
Clown rapist.
Nice, okay.
You know where I'm hoping this is going.
I know. Okay, James, General Zod or Ozzy Osbourne?
I had to say Ozzy.
I love how you think about this. He's like sitting there, Ozzy, Zod.
All right.
Ozzy, Zod.
All right. James, the devil or Stewie Griffin?
I have to say devil on that one.
Quicker, James. We're running out of time.
Yes. And Mike,
yes.
Clown rapist versus Ozzy Osbourne.
Clown rapists.
Which brings us down to, Mike.
Yes.
The devil versus clown rapists.
This is what I wanted. This is the ultimate throwdown.
Yes. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, it's what you've been waiting for. I bigger than Manathan and the weather dominator.
I was gonna say.
And in the second main event, the devil versus the clown rapist.
Unfortunately, I'm going to go with the devil.
Oh.
Yep, because he's
surprisingly the devil didn't show up. I bet you he shows up next week.
The devil, he bad.
I bet you he shows up next week though.
I gotta go
to claim to claim his victory. All right, guys. Well, hey, this is Enosh for the Rock Show. Tune in next week again, 9 p.m. And for Mike Beer,
yeah.
and for James, thanks for tuning in once again. We are so glad that you have been a part of this rock show. And remember, you can find us at trsspaz.blogspot.com. You can email us at rshow1@hotmail.com. And we'll see you again right here next week. Bye, James. Bye, y'all. Bye-bye. Jacked up Ford.